Len Zeem, the cold weather has returned to the Chicago area here. It rained overnight. It's supposed to rain today. It's 48 degrees. We had a high of about 58 yesterday for about an hour and a half before temperatures started dropping. And it appears all the way in and through the weekend, golfers may not have to tee it up in 60 degree or more weather because it's only going to be in the 50s, I think.
Well, I tell you, I wish we had some of those cooler temperatures here in South Florida. We're in the early or low 90s most every day again now. We're supposed to have a couple of days respite at the end of this week, and which hopefully will bring some rain along with it because we haven't had any of that. But, you know, that's a difference between the Midwest and South Florida. There's an advantage to each place, for sure. We played golf earlier this week and very sweltering temperatures, but at least we could play, and we'll get out there again. But sooner or later, though, we got to get back to Illinois. We're looking forward to that.
Well, we have another golf course in the Chicagoland area that has been sold. The other part of the group that also sold White Deer Run last week has sold Boulder Ridge Country Club out there in the and so yet another golf course gets sold here, well, during golf season.
Yeah, you know, Boulder Ridge, it seems like I did play that one, but it's one of the very few Chicago courses that I can't remember playing. It's a fuzzy cellar design, as I recall it.
It is.
And, you know, it's been there a while. It's been there a while, and, you know, going hand in hand with the sale, of course, of White Deer Run. So that's a significant sales of Chicago courses, but, you know, they're still there, and there's no question about them closing those down. One of the long time Florida places right near me here is really sad to look at. It's the Bobby Jones Golf Complex. Paul Azinger, then 19 years old, played the initial round there and shot the course record of 62. But that was way, way, way back, obviously. And now they've let that course go fallow. That's all 45 holes. You got to look at that. And it's they've made a nature trail in there, but boy, that's a sad one in Florida to lose a course of that nature because an awful lot of people learned how to play golf at Bobby Jones Golf Complex.
Len, it's NCAA golf season. The NCAA men's golf regional sites and locations were named yesterday afternoon on the Golf Channel. And I'm going to start with the Big Ten because the regional in Noblesville, Indiana, at the Sagamon Golf Club, a Jack Nicklaus designed course, has no one from the Big Ten. And the schools that made it into the NCAA regionals from the Big Ten that include Illinois, Northwestern, Iowa, Ohio State, and Indiana are all packing their bags, and they're going to have to get on the plane because we have Illinois and Northwestern, and, of course, Notre Dame as well, having to go down to Oklahoma to play. We have Indiana and Ohio State going to Florida, and we have the University of Iowa headed out to Washington State. So none of the Big Ten schools are getting to play regional play in Big Ten country, so to speak.
Yeah, that's an odd one. I don't understand how that could have happened. I know that one time in the past, I believe, Illinois was sent to Sangamon, which was their preferred regional location before the announcement was made. And I believe the Illini won a regional there way back when.
That is correct, yes. Mike Small had told me earlier in the week they were hoping to go back there because the only time they were there for regional play, they won it.
But the one thing about this announcement that I look on it as a semi-positive. Going to the Oklahoma State and playing the Carson course, I mean, that is a course that has hosted lots of NCAA competition. You know what you got when you go there. I don't think it's going to hurt Illinois playing there, and they got Oklahoma State in the field. I'm hoping that turns into a blessing, that it gives them an even tougher tune-up for what should be a spot in the finals for the Illini. And I'm hoping that finally they can get over the hump and make a real run and win this time. I don't think it's out of the question. This has been a very solid Illinois team despite the pandemic. They've won very consistently, and they kept their Big Ten streak alive. I'm very optimistic about what they can do nationally.
Well, I know that Mike Small would love to see Illinois' streak continue of going to the national championship. The top 30 men's teams in the country will be there. And Illinois has been there 12 consecutive years. It is the second longest streak in the country behind the University of Texas that has been there 13 consecutive years. And so Texas, as a matter of fact, is down in Texas. They got to fly to Indiana. They're going to play at Noblesville at the Sagamon Club. So I don't know. Kind of interesting, still during what some people would say pandemic times, having to fly so far and travel so far to do so. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit more from University of Illinois head coach Mike Small and some of their players and some Zoom calls later today. But, Len, one local Chicago school did make it down to that regional in Indiana. Loyola, they're back in. Break out the brackets. How about the Ramblers? Yep, they are unfortunately the 13th seed. So I think they better call Sister Jean right now, and she's going to have to send some prayers because the Ramblers are in. But, again, like basketball, they're a long shot.
Well, I tell you, just getting in is a pretty big deal. They won the Missouri Valley Conference Championship, and I'm not so sure that they were the favorite team to do that. I would have thought maybe Illinois State would have a better run at it. I know if Illinois State had one of their individuals make it. But that's what's good for Loyola. I think Loyola has been a real good sports story with their basketball team, and it's good that they do stuff in the other sports too, especially golf. I think it's exciting that they make it. I don't expect them to go very far, but I think that it's great that they got into the tournament.
As we know, all of these regionals, the top five schools are going out of, in some cases, 13 or 14 schools. So there's going to be some great golf have to be played to advance to the national championships taking place out in Scottsdale at Greyhawk Golf Club. Len, we've also had some announcements in the last 24 hours. The Big Ten has named its all-conference team, and the Arnold Palmer Cup that's going to get played in June at Rich Harvest has fully announced the rosters of both teams. And University of Illinois has Adrian Dumont-Chassart. He's qualified. He's going to play at Rich Harvest Farms for the international team, and also Northwestern University from the women's team. Irene Kim is part of the field as well.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm happy to see that because the Arnold Palmer Cup is a respected competition. I mean, Jerry Rich, the owner at Rich Harvest Farms, hosted that event previously. It's a interesting team competition, but it's also, as far as bringing people in, it's good to have some local flavor to it. You know, these are all young players who haven't yet built their national resume even yet. So it's good that both Illinois and Northwestern are represented in the competition with some of their star athletes. Assuming the gates are open to enough spectators, I think it's going to be well worth watching. I mean, I was at the first one over at Rich Harvest, and it was a lot of fun to see these kids go at it.
People should remember that one of the players who played at Rich Harvest Farms in 2015 was John Rahm, the current third-rated player in the world, was there for the international team, and I'm not sure he won a match. I think he may have lost two of them and halved one of them, so he didn't have his best tournament, but you never know who's going to play in an event like that, and 4 or 5 years from now, they could be a very big name out on the PGA Tour. Speaking of the PGA Tour, some announcements coming out from the PGA Tour in the last 24 to 48 hours. First off, the commissioner himself traveled all the way to North Carolina for a meeting with the players in regards to this startup tour that is trying to recruit some players. I believe this tour comes out of the Middle East, and some big money thrown around. to try to recruit the biggest names in golf and play in kind of a world tour type tournaments. And, you know, Len, if you go back far enough, we remember Greg Norman trying to launch something years ago, but the commissioner taking a strong stance saying that anybody that goes over and plays on this tour will not only be suspended, but possibly expelled from the PGA Tour going forward.
Well, I can understand Tim Monahan taking a strong stance like that. Now, how enforceable it would be if this thing really came to fruition, I don't know. But I really can't see. There hasn't been enough details announced yet on this tour, this budding young tour, other than the fact that they've offered all this money, especially to Phil Mickelson, $100 million, and DJ Dustin Johnson. You know, they've all given big money to offering big money to a lot of top players, but you don't know what it really is going to turn out to be. Now, that when Greg Norman tried to get something going, he was unsuccessful, but World Golf Championship Series came out of what he was proposing. I think it's just way too premature. I think it's just talk right now about all the money that's being thrown out there. I'd like to see just what the format of this whole thing would be. I would hope that it wouldn't hurt any the PGA Tour. Maybe it even helped the PGA Tour. I'm not real negative. I'm not negative about it. Let's put it that way. I want to see. I want to get more details before I really make judgment on it.
Well, and other news coming out of the PGA office yesterday involved the Korn Ferry Tour, and apparently this has been an issue on a lot of people's plate for a long time. And you know, you have fields sometimes of 140, 150 players. And if you don't realistically finish in the top 16 was the argument, you're not really making any money, almost enough to even cover your expenses for the week. And the purses on the Korn Ferry Tour had to be a low of $600,000 per tournament prior to the pandemic. Last year, to get tournaments going again and get people back out there, the Korn Ferry events were allowed to lower purses down to $500,000. You had to put up $500,000 for the purse. And that number is not working for the players. It's not working for a lot of people. As a result, the tour has announced yesterday that starting in 2023, all Korn Ferry Tour events must have a purse of at least $1 million. So it will be interesting to see how that shakes out for our local Korn Ferry Tour event, the Evans Scholar Invitationals and the WGA. I have just been informed that they will be commenting on this on Monday's media day over at the Glen Club, where the Evans Scholar Invitational will be taking place up around Memorial Day weekend. But for the WGA that's been running this tournament now for a couple of years, basically they're going to have to double their purse, and hopefully they can do so.
You know, I was just absolutely flabbergasted to hear that announcement. I have nothing against more money being paid for Korn Ferry players. I mean, they're a developmental tour, and they're, you know, it's their purchase isn't going to be the PGA Tour, even though their talent level isn't that far off. But doubling the size of the purses, I don't know. All I can think of would happen there. I'll take a negative approach to this. I think they're going to wind up having fewer tournaments over the course of the year, and I think that there'll be more of them trying to get into Monday qualifying for PGA Tour events. That just stunned me, the fact that they were going to boost the purses that much in such a short period of time. But we'll see. I mean, the golf on the Korn Ferry Tour is quite good, and more people ought to get to their tournaments there. They're a bargain to watch because you can get really up close and personal and seeing the action, and the players are friendly and they're promising, and most of them are going to get on the PGA Tour sooner or later, and some will become stars. I wish the Korn Ferry Tour well. This is nothing against them, but I think that's a very quick, big purse jump that may have negative ramifications down the road.
Well, looking across the street, the Symetra Tour with all the ladies trying to get their way to the LPGA Tour. Len, some of our favorite haunts in golf are all hosting some Metro Tour events this year. We have some Metro stops at the Mission Inn Resort, Howie in the Hills, Florida, just northwest of Orlando. Then we also have a stop at the Island Casino in Upper Peninsula, Michigan, just straight up from Green Bay, about another hour or so. And then finally in July, the French Lick Resort out on the Donald Ross course has the Symetra Tour. So nice to see some of the great resort properties from Florida straight up through the Midwest hosting Symetra Tour events.
You know, I have always felt that now talking about the tour that needs a money boost, it's the Symetra Tour. Those players are really struggling with much smaller purses. But I've always felt with the Symetra Tour that it was had untapped potential. I think that more promotional efforts by all the whole tour, I mean, across the board with the LPGA, would do wonders for that tour because they've got some. It's a refreshing for the women. It's a refreshing tour that can only help boost popularity for the LPGA Tour. It'll be it's really a good thing, the Symetra Tour. I've seen some of their events. The players are friendly. They're really good golfers and well worth watching. I think that these three tournaments that aren't very far from the Chicago area, I wish Chicago had one. I hope that some people can venture out and get a taste of just how good the Symetra Tour is.
Len, I had briefly mentioned Michigan, and I want to readdress some breaking news out of Michigan. Is Boyne Resorts up in northern Michigan announcing they are bringing in TrackMan. And we had a little bit of a debate on that last week here as different courses, practice facilities are splitting up between Topgolf's version of Top Tracer and also TrackMan, which is now going to debut here at the new Heritage Oaks range when that course opens this summer, the former Sportsman's over in Northbrook. But now Boyne is bringing in TrackMan across the board with their practice facilities at their resorts. And so it's one of their improvements that they are working on. Also, our good friend Ray Hearn, the architect, is up there already hard at work, apparently on two of their courses, the Donald Ross Memorial Course and the other course, the Moore Course. And those two courses are already seeing some work get done to them, even though it does not appear that work is yet underway on the brand new par 3 course that's getting designed.
Yeah, Boyne, I tell you, this is Boyne has always stayed at the top level of cutting edge of activity over there. But this is it outdoes even what they've done in the past over there. But these the courses that are getting the attention from Ray are favorites of mine from years and years going by. But I think that they really did need more than anything the short course. That was one thing that really wasn't in evidence at Boyne, those kind of courses are sprouting up all over the golf landscape, especially at resorts these days. So I'm welcoming Boyne. I was there last year, and I think I'm going to get there again this year once we get a little more into the Midwest summer season. But and I'm very interested in seeing what Ray Hearn is doing there and really what they're doing in the resort as a whole, because it sounds like a really, really good thing.
Well, we know that Ray Hearn will also be working at the Oak Brook Hills Resort this summer, he tells us. So we'll look forward to catching up with Ray out there. In addition, speaking of ranges, Cog Hill. They've got those lights working, and the hours are extended. And for the first time in property history, the driving range is open into the darkness hours of the night with hours till 10 p.m. on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Monday is still 7 o'clock at this time. Friday and Saturday nights, 11 o'clock, and the lights are on at Cog Hill for the practice range.
That's an interesting development at Cog Hill. I mean, it's a nice range with a good facility all the way around, and I think it's going to be a big hit over there. I think they're going to get a lot of nighttime business there and a lot of people just enjoying the other things that offered at Cog Hill, like the dining room and the and the bars and so on. I think golf will be played a little later than it usually is on the regular courses, and people drift over to the range and enjoy all that's going on over there. I commend Todd Hill for taking a big step like that.
Well, they've also added those dining areas, the bench railing with the bar stool chairs in the back of the hitting bay, so you can sit out there and eat a little bit in between shots, or if you're competing against friends on a game up on the top tracer range. Coghill also had a Monday qualifier for the U.S. Open, Len Ziem, and some players have advanced to final qualifying stage for the U.S. Open after advancing from Coghill playing Dubstred, and at least one familiar name made it out of the group and took home the medal.
Brian Bullington, 7 under par, 65 on Dubs. He's obviously a former University of Iowa player who was from Frankfort, Illinois. He's certainly ready to qualify for a U.S. Open if he can shoot a 65 at Dubs. And, you know, it's interesting, this week, this Monday, the second of the Illinois local qualifiers will be at another one of our favorite places, Cantini in Wheaton. I think that this may be the first time Cantini, which has hosted a lot of big events, don't get me wrong, but I don't think they've ever had a U.S. Open local qualifier. So from Coghill to Cantini, that's a pretty good offering for players from the Chicago area who want to take a crack and make it into the U.S. Open.
Well, heading north of the border here, there is news from Wisconsin. Finally, one of the last courses to really open for the year. Erin Hills will be open on Monday, and Erin Hills has continued to make some improvements to its facility every year. And if they're not adding a new beer like they did a year ago, the Erin Hills Pilsner or the Fescue Rescue drink, they've added a really large 2-acre putting green up there. There's been some new cottages that have been built in the last couple of years, and I think there's some rumors that Erin Hills might also be looking at some sort of a short course option up there. So something else to stay on top of. But Erin Hills getting ready to open on Monday.
Yeah, I tell you, that's a sign. I'm surprised it took them that long to get going. But that's that course is really good. I mean, it was really a solid U.S. Open they had there, and they've had bigger events. Was before that, big events before that, and they've done more things to the facility out there since the U.S. Open. So I'm waiting to see just what's down the road for Erin Hills. I mean, I think all kinds of events are going to want to be played over there. It'll be fun to see which ones will be next.
Well, and a couple of things that we have learned from conversations this week in college golf. First off, it's nice to see that the Big Ten has decided to return the conference championship that was wiped out at Rich Harvest Farms during the pandemic this previous year. So they are going to come back with the Big Ten Conference Championship in 2023 to Jerry Rich's Rich Harvest Farms.
Yeah, Rich Harvest Jerry has been a very big supporter of amateur golf, and I think I can't commend him enough for doing it. I mean, he certainly doesn't need to do it, but I think that the big events that he's had there, that the Big Ten will be another nice attraction to be held there, following up this year's Arnold Palmer Cup. All that he's done for the Northern Illinois golf program. Be great to see the Big Ten play out there.
Well, the University of Wisconsin that had a tough season on the golf course and ended up in 14th place at the 14-team Big Ten Championship has announced yesterday that their head coach of the last 10-11 years, Michael Burson, has announced his resignation. He's been a golf coach in the NCAA in Wisconsin and at the University of South Carolina for the last 17 years, is stepping back from the coaching ranks to spend more time with his wife and his daughter, and had to thank the University of Wisconsin for all their support. But the Badgers will be looking for a new head coach and someone who can probably go out and recruit pretty well against, you know, the likes of the Pat Gosses at Northwestern and the Mike Smalls at Illinois and some of the other schools now in the Big Ten, because you have schools like Indiana and Iowa that have and Minnesota that have improved their golf facilities on and around campus. And competition for Big Ten players is getting tougher all the time.
Yeah, I tell you, the Big Ten, these developments recently, especially over at Indiana and Minnesota, I think that opened eyes over at Wisconsin. Wisconsin doesn't seem to have kept pace with the rest of the Big Ten in golf. I mean, they've had good teams in the past, but the Big Ten is up to all the across the board have been upgrading their programs, and I'm not so sure that that Wisconsin, I don't believe, has kept up the pace. So I'm looking for, you know, Wisconsin's a really a good sports school. I had a lot of family members of mine went to Wisconsin, and I'm sure that they have a good course to play their home matches on at University Ridge. But the I think that that more needs to be done there, and I think we'll probably see it happen once the new coach is named.
Well, finally, in talking to University of Illinois golf coach Mike Small the other day, I asked him for a update on the University of Illinois course, Atkins facility that is there and is currently undergoing some improvements. There was some hope that course was going to be done and reopened this fall in time for not only students coming back to school, but the alumni coming down for events and football games. But it appears that the status of where they are at with the renovation and the amount of renovation work that's going to be done, that course likely will not open now till 2022. So anyway, Len Zeem, we will call it yet another week